I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. I've avoided the Olympics here in Vancouver the last couple of weeks or so, but I've lived vicariously through the photos of friends on Facebook and the sort. It's been a fascinating and momentous time. Joining me now to look back at last night's closing ceremonies and ahead to the Paralympic Games is Michael Klassen. He's a good friend of the program and the co-editor of the popular CityCaucus.com, which has featured indispensable Olympic coverage and their much-lauded guide to seeing the sights and pavilions. I can't tell you how many people I've encountered who've sworn by the guide, and I'm sure you've seen it featured on the news and the sort. Mr. Klassen and his colleague Daniel Fontaine have done a great job. And incidentally, you might have seen them on Global News this morning. His website is michaelklassen.com. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Mike Klassen. Good morning, Mr. Klassen.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You have a cold, do you?
Yeah, it seems like it's finally kind of kicking in. I think the crash of adrenaline of the last 17 days. And I've been sort of fighting it off, and right now is a good day just to relax.
Yeah, and I bet you were screaming yesterday, were you?
Yeah, I was up on my feet, pacing around the living room, and just with family here, and it was a great occasion for sure. That the Sidney Crosby goal, it was, everybody's calling it the Hollywood script ending, and it really was. It couldn't have really been played itself out better.
So over the last couple of weeks, you've been out and about every day, have you?
Pretty much every day, with the exception of the time that I'd be sitting back trying to do the reporting, writing, posting up online. I've been out talking to people all over the city. You know, a lot of our guests here in town, the international and provincial pavilions that we've had. Went to some of the live sites, visited Richmond, Surrey, and I had some interesting experiences and a number of observations about what I thought worked and what I thought needed more work to be better. But it was just fabulous, just meeting all the people. And one of the funny sidebars to what happened with the City Caucus Guide is we really became this resource. And I didn't realize that VanOck and the Tourism Vancouver and they kind of really just turned it over to us, which I'm grateful for. We enjoyed all that attention. We enjoyed being able to be these ambassadors for these games for so many people. But it was completely unexpected. I was getting 20, 25 calls a day that would come through on my cell phone, and it would say VanOck on the call display, and it literally was somebody who'd phoned into VanOck saying, you know, where can I find this? And they said, here, we'll just punch you and forward you over to City Caucus.
Yeah. Well, what did these past couple of weeks mean to you and your family, I guess, in terms of being Vancouverites hosting the world?
You know, I tell you, the day after these games, and with such little hindsight left right now, I have to be very careful not to really blow it out of proportion. But I did do a lot of writing. I've been writing about what I think these games are going to mean to the city since last fall, really. And to see it succeed in the way beyond even my wildest dreams. I mean, I wrote mid-December in 24 Hours, where I have a column. I said the best way that we could win from these games is to show the world that we embrace the games and that we have a good time. And oh my God, did we ever do that? And it's not that I was so prescient. It's just that I felt that, you know, we had spent all this money, we had all this aggro about whether the games were right for us, whether it was the proper way to spend public money, and I was convinced that it really could be a significant moment for the city. And one of the occasions that I had in the last few weeks is to talk to Patrick Reed. I know somebody who knows him, so thankfully he gave me a call back, and he's a lovely man. He's very similar in temperament and background as John Furlong. Patrick Reed was the Commissioner General of Expo 86, which was another defining time for Vancouver. And Patrick Reed is also an Irish-Canadian, speaks with a soft Irish brogue, and very thoughtful man, just like John Furlong. And he answered the question that I had for him about, you know, how do you compare Expo to Vancouver? And I loved his answer. He said, events like this can give cities the confidence to embrace the future. And I think that's what we may see. We may see Vancouver gain a great deal of self-confidence from what just happened. And what that means for our artists and our creative people and our scientists and engineers and other sort of leading thinkers is that we can become, I think, you know, let's just step back, you know, 10,000 feet. Vancouver is an amazing city. You know, by any measure, we're cosmopolitan, diverse. It's we live in among affluence of varying kinds. We have so much. We're an educated population. For the most part, we get on very well. Our politics is rancorous but respectful. And there's very few places on Earth that I think could have really held the event the way that we did in the last few weeks. And I'm extremely proud that we did that. So I think we have created a real opportunity for ourselves. The response I'm getting from particularly Americans who have been emailing us and some of the writers that I found a column by Bill Plasky of the LA Times. Somebody sent me the link yesterday. I started to read it out loud to my wife, and I broke down. Like, I absolutely, I don't know if it was just the combined stress of, you know, working constantly lately, and I've had so much fun, so I hardly would chalk it to any kind of real anxiety. I just was so emotional, and it was the message of, he came to Canada and with his young daughter, and they just had such a great time, and everybody was so welcoming and kind. And I said, that's exactly the city that I hoped that we would project to the world, and we've done it. So I kind of answered your question in a very long-form way.
Yeah.
There's just so much racing through my mind now after the last few weeks. I'm so excited about what it could mean for us.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Patrick Reed. I remember looking back at reading, I mean, I was 4 when Expo happened, but, you know, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't avail yourself of history.
Yeah.
Reed was considered for all sorts of political office after Expo. On your website, there's a story there today about Furlong and,
yeah,
and the possibility of him perhaps becoming mayor. How serious is that?
You know what? Daniel, my colleague, wrote that. And I think Daniel I think he's toying with ideas. I'll tell you, you never say never, but I disagree with the analysis. And, you know, he and I have had conversations about this. And I think that Furlong, well, you know, if I was to give a broader assessment of any kind, any time that somebody proposes that a quote-unquote star candidate step up for being the mayor of the city, you know, it's Carol Taylor one day or, you know, Christy Clark another day or something like that, I kind of go, first of all, why would they want the job? I mean, the pay, you know, it's 6 figures for a mayor, but it's not very good for a city councilor. And the hours are long and the abuse is just unceasing. So, and not only that, but you're kind of caught between so many opposing forces in so many ways. It's a very difficult job. And I think Furlong is obviously developed a huge amount of personal and political capital during these times, but I just don't see it. I don't see somebody like John Furlong. You know, John Furlong has been, I think, a gracious and engaging leader for these games, but I don't get the feeling that he's terribly excited about, you know, how we build neighborhoods or you know, even filling potholes, which, you know, is some of the mundane stuff that you have to concern yourself as a city councilor or mayor in the city. So I think he has bigger and broader ambitions for the rest of his life, and I just don't see it as being as the mayor of the city. I still think he'll be a highly influential figure here, though.
Now, before I went on vacation in January, the night of, there was a story on the internet about you seeking political office. What's the latest on that?
Actually, it's one person that was out there speculating on that front, and I caught wind of it, and I did not dignify it with a response, and I'm sort of not really talking about that with anybody. So it's, you know, I'm not really, I'm not out there trying to seek higher office, moving out away from my desk to another desk at this time. I'm just completely enjoying what I'm doing right now, and so I really don't get into that.
What did you make of last night's closing ceremonies?
You know, I enjoyed some of the humor. I enjoyed the opening moment, the repair job that they did on the great big stick that stuck out of the ground there. But overall, I found it to be a bit. I mean, I like Neil Young, and I've actually written on my personal blog, michaelklassen.com. I wrote a post about how I thought Neil Young and William Shatner are the most important Canadians of all time. I think I'm sort of paraphrasing from that, but I actually, it was meant to be very lighthearted, but they're very similar guys in some ways. They had they're a little different in age by probably about 10 or 15 years, but they actually have very similar career ups and downs, and I just think that they're so fantastic. They're self-deprecating, they're funny, they're leaders in their field. And so it was great to see those guys. And, of course, as a longtime Second City devotee, deceased Catherine O'Hara was great. And Michael J. Fox put a tear in my eye just for a moment. But it seemed like the whole thing was just so incredibly forced with all of the crazy visual effects that were going on inside the stadium. I think that they kind of blew it. It was very charming during the opening ceremony, but it just got way too busy. It felt like a video game. And the whole Canadian send-up was fine, but I thought a bit overdone. And only because, I'm only saying that now, because I was laughing during the giant Stetson and the inflatable beavers and things like that. But and then the whole last part of it just lost me. And it might be, you know, I can say sure. You know, I'm a 40-something guy, and I don't have a whole lot to say about Avril Lavigne and Headley, but to me, I think that, you know, we don't need to go rah-rah about guys like Nickelback singing their hit songs. I mean, often it really felt to me like a commercial for a bunch of rock bands that are already doing quite well.
There was a lot of criticism about the opening ceremony, saying that they were not as representative of our minority communities. Graham McRaynor from The Sun was on the program Friday, and he said that the opening ceremonies were pretty white. On Twitter last night, he said the closing ceremonies were whiter. Have you any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm a white guy, so maybe. You know what? I thought the opening ceremonies had a couple of really critical moments. I thought Shane, and I've forgotten his name. The
slam poet,
slam
right?
Slam poet.
Yeah.
Was a really nice touch. He was very real to me. But to me, the most, and I also was very charmed by the Four Hosts First Nations component. We haven't really talked about this too much, but one of the great takeaways of 2010 games, I think, was an emboldened Aboriginal culture. I saw so many incredible people from the Aboriginal communities of BC. I saw Enterprise. I was very excited for them, and I felt that it was a great turn of the road. But to me, the other piece that I was very proud of was the fact that icons of the gay community and LGBT community were out there, literally, on stage. I mean, you had Ashley McIsaac, and then you had Katie Lang, who knocked it out of the park by any measure. Was an incredible performance by her. I don't know if she was lip syncing. If she did, she was fantastic. But it was the most beautiful and stirring rendition of Leonard Cohen's "Hallelujah." And to have Pride House in Vancouver to me was an incredibly important symbol of where we are as a city. That we are good with having a venue that welcomes gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgendered people there, and we don't set our hair on fire about it. Whereas in other cities around the world, I don't think you'll see that kind of thing. Certainly not in an out way.
What happens now these next couple of weeks with the Paralympic Games? I mean, how does the city, does the city change much? I guess it does in terms of the amount of people, perhaps.
The whether the Paralympic, gee, you know, on the day after the games, it sure feels like, can we rise to the challenge again? My guess is that we will probably put on a pretty good Paralympic Games. Thankfully, some of the free venues have been persuaded to stick around a little bit longer. The Royal Canadian Mint Pavilion, which we broke on our blog, and as well the BC Pavilion is sticking around, minus the fireworks apparently, but still the skating rink and some of the shows and the zip track line are all going to remain. And we were kind of talking to them as that started to unfold as well. So we were really excited to see that there is going to be some more family-oriented activities, for all sorts of folks. That's something I want to really mention, too. People are talking, everybody's kind of giving their opinion about how they saw it succeed. But we've been very strong in pointing out that these crowds were very mixed crowds. They had a lot of families and little kids in tow, and that sure really tempers some of the rowdyism that you see with crowds when it's just all, you know, all young guys drinking and things like that.
So these venues that you mentioned, you've probably been to all of them. Did you do the zip trek thing?
I didn't do the zip trek thing. I was considered media by that site, and there was a media day the day before the games opened, or the trek opened on February the 12th. So on February the 11th, I had an opportunity during that day. It was pouring with rain that day, and I was quite literally run off my feet. I actually did. It was quite funny. I got invited by Australia's Channel 9, which is one of their one of the major networks of Australia, and they were down at the International Media Center behind all the fencing and the massive security apparatus down at the Trade and Convention Center. And so I actually had to get this. I had to bring my passport and leave it at the gate.
Yeah.
They're that serious about that. And, of course, you do all the magnetic scanning and frisking and all that stuff to get inside. It was quite unbelievable. But I got to do this comedy bit with Mick Molloy, who's kind of called, they call him, Australia's Stephen Colbert. I'm not sure if he's quite as talented as Stephen Colbert. But Mick was a really fun guy. We did a little cute bit about the city's protocol manual, this protocol manual that the city of Vancouver produced and told everybody how to conduct themselves in the presence of dignitaries.
Yeah. Do you have a clip of that?
I've sent a note to the producer, and I was hoping I'd find it online. Not yet, but my goal is to have a copy of it. If it's bad, I won't, publish it anywhere, but if it's good, I'll post it up on a city caucus.
So these venues that you mentioned, the Mint Pavilion, the skating rink at Robson Square, and the BC Pavilion,
yep.
These are all things, if we haven't gone thus far, should go?
Oh, yeah. I think that the... I think the unexpected hit of all of these venues is the Royal Canadian Mint Pavilion. People just love being in the presence of those medals. I didn't realize, it's kind of like a coin collector's dream to be down there, and just people, there were huge lineups. I'm kind of sad to think that people waited for 6 hours to go in and see that stuff. But I'm really glad that the Canadian Mint's coming back. It just right now, we don't know exactly where the pavilion will be housed. It has to be in a secure venue for obvious reasons. But it's not going to be at the same place as as it was down at Granville and Pender. And then there's a Canada Pavilion, the Live City Downtown site. Where they had Centre Place Manitoba. But you know what? Listen, I'm not going to discourage anybody from going out. I think it's just fun to go out and meet people and certainly if there's some things to do for your kids, if you've got some kids to bring along with you, then Canada Pavilion is pretty good for that as well.
And we can expect on City Caucus an update on what to see over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yes, we are going to be, we've already started just a real basic list, because it's only really about five or six venues that are staying open. It'll be at citycaucus.com/Paralympics, and you'll be able to just go there, find the list, and if you want, you can leave some comments.
Finally, how many pins did you collect?
I'm not a rabid pin collector. I have a whole box of pins from Expo 86 because I actually worked on site and got to meet all sorts of people down there. And they've been collecting dust in a desk drawer at my mom's house for the last 25 years. So you can imagine I'm not the craziest pin collector. But to answer your question, I probably have about 10 or 15 of them. But most of them, I'm just going to give them to my kid.
Yeah. Hey, there's a picture of you and Daniel on the website this morning, and you've got you're all wearing pins in the sort.
I got a few pins that I thought were kind of nice. The Host Province, Robson Square, Bombardier. I don't think anybody else got that one, and a couple others that I thought were just kind of nice. Inkameet, See You Later Winery, because I'm a big BC wine guy. So I thought they were pretty cool, but I didn't really add to the collection. They start to clang around too much on your chest.
Yeah. Congratulations to you and Daniel for all the wonderful work you've done on City Caucus, and thanks for doing this today.
Thanks very much, Joe.
You're very welcome. The website's michaelclausen.com and, of course, citycaucus.com. It's co-editor Michael Clausen on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.